All right. Let me get some water here.
Oh, you know it's a daytime show and he's drinking water.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans. It's time for a new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. You know what? It's Thanksgiving week here in the United States. You guys are getting your Cap show a little bit early this week because, you know, Coach Dan and I, we got pies and turkeys and stuffing and all other kinds of stuff to make or watch people make it while we watch football. Anyway, joining me as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. We got three Caps games to talk about. Plenty of stuff going on with the Capitals before the Thanksgiving holiday. So let's start off with the Capitals against the Red Wings. Last Wednesday night in Detroit, game went to overtime. And, of course, the king of overtime, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, showed up, was able to secure the Caps a win. As much as that game was a fun one to watch, and it was great to see Kuznetsov get that goal, Capitals have been coming out a little sluggish, like for this last game against Colorado, but a little sluggish in the first period. We definitely saw that in Detroit. What's going on here with the Caps? Why are they having such a slow start to games?
What was it? Nine in a row? Was it nine in a row where the other team scored the first goal?
Yeah, nine in a row.
Something like that. It's been interesting to see them come out and be able to win some of those games and be able to fight back in other times where they are not able to do that. So I think some of it could be a question of the coaching staff. Some of it can be a question of the players in terms of their preparation or their start. I may have to go back and look at each one and see, are they trying to be too cute in the first period and set up for good goals, or are they just playing the game tough and crashing the net and screening the goalie and do the little things that they need to do? Are they not playing with enough what's the word I'm looking for here? Not desire, but enough urgency.
Right.
In the first period, where now they have to play with that urgency in the second and the third to get back into a game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a little bit worried the fact that they are starting off so many games just looking like they don't want to be there. Very sluggish, you know, looks like they're skating through sand a lot of the times. No motivation, and it really doesn't show up until like the second or at some point, maybe even like the third. Halfway through the third, they show up and try to go for a run. But nothing really crazy with this team. But anyway, so let's move on to the Dallas Capitals game. You actually were in attendance. This was your first game at Verizon Center this year, right?
I was there. My first game of the year. It was fun. It was nice. It was nice to get there. I got there a lot earlier than I thought I was going to. I went to go see if I could get a jersey, the name and number on the back of my jersey. $64 or $62 to screen press it.
That sounds about right.
That is ridiculous. No, thank you. I will be fine without it.
Yeah, that. I can imagine them charging that much. My god kids aren't going to listen to this episode, but I got them Winter Classic jerseys at the Fan Fest in July, and I got they're just blank on the back. And I was going to get like their name screen printed on, you know, a tiny 2T, a toddler jersey, and it was around the same amount of money.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I know of this place in Minnesota that I can send it to. It's like $75, and they stitch it on.
See,
and I'd much rather do that. Yeah. I'd much rather do that. Stitching is much better. It's a lot less, significantly less likely to get messed up. So anyways, yeah, no, it was great to go to the Dallas game. It was nice to go watch warm-ups. It was nice to see that the players, they played well in that game. They definitely, even though they came out with a loss, they definitely had the opportunity to win that game and potentially win it rather easily. I mean, they had plenty of opportunities. Ovechkin had an empty net, a wide open net that he could have scored on. Backstrom had a wide open opportunity. Johansson had, I believe, had a wide open. Johansson was just killing me the whole night. So many turnovers and just bad plays on his part. He's killing me. They had plenty of opportunities to win that game. And the fact that they were able to stay with the, currently the best team in the league and outplay them for periods of time, I think is telling. It's just a matter of capitalizing on the chances that you create, and they didn't do that. So that's one of those games that easily could have been 2 points for them and not none.
Yeah, definitely. But what's the environment like at Verizon Center this season? Was there anything different that the Caps fans going there could expect to see this year, or
there's less fans than I anticipated for. Well, it was a Thursday night game.
Less fans, really?
It was a decent amount of people there, but there was definitely a good amount of empty seats around the building.
Oh wow, intriguing.
Yeah, it was a little interesting there. Their Rock the Red song they play after goals is kind of silly. You can hear it in the broadcast.
Okay.
I didn't really pay attention to it, but like it's kind of silly. What else is going on around Verizon Center? No, I mean, it was great. You know, it's still Verizon Center, still probably one of the top arenas in the country. It's very nice out there. I noticed this, that they have the Weagle logo hanging down from the ceiling on both ends.
Oh, really?
It's not that low, obviously, because then it's going to get in the way of the game. But it's like, I'm not specifically sure if it's there to block something or if they just thought it looked cool. And when you go to a game, you'll notice it's kind of high up on both sides of the scoreboard, on both ends, sort of near the goals. It's cool. I noticed that. I mean, maybe that was something last year. I just never noticed it. Other than that, I mean, it was a fun game, aside from the loss.
Right. Aside from the loss.
Aside from the losing aspect.
You got to see former Capital Cody Eakin come back to town, but big news out of that game, even though it was a loss, is that Ovechkin finally was able to get his record, breaking the record.
Yeah.
Ovi came out with a goal. So what was that like to be in person to see? I mean, that's a piece of NHL history right there. What was it like to be there for that?
It was very cool. I mean, we were sitting there and I was talking with friends I went with, and at one point we were like, you know, he hasn't scored it yet. It's a pretty good chance he'll do it tonight.
Yeah.
You got to think it's going to happen eventually. But I thought the most interesting fact behind the whole thing, aside from him becoming the top Russian goal scorer, Russian-born goal scorer in NHL history, so of course, congratulations to him, but that Backstrom assisted not only on that goal on a ridiculously nice pass, but also assisted on Fedorov's goal that made him the top Russian-born goal scorer in NHL history. So it's nice that Backstrom's involved in all of the top Russian goal scorers, apparently, within the last, 10 years or however long it's been, 7-8 years.
Yeah, and you got to think with Ovi, I mean, I don't think Ovi's going anywhere anytime soon. So he's just
I don't imagine that being the case.
He's just going to continually just, you know, score as many goals as he possibly can, pretty much. So that record, that may very well stand for, I mean, maybe 10, 20 more years. Because
Netsoff will break it.
You think he'll break it?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, geez.
He's more of a playmaker. He obviously scores a lot of goals, but he also sets a lot of people up. He's not the goal-scoring focal point that Ovechkin is. No, I'm sure someday someone will break it. I just don't think it'll necessarily be anytime soon.
No.
We're not hearing about any of these top Russian goal scorers like we heard about Ovechkin or Malkin when they were coming over. We haven't heard of any of these guys. I mean, it's possible that someone pops up out of nowhere. It could be Stan Galiev. We don't know.
But
that's unlikely.
Good. We should talk about him now. Good segue there. He actually got a jersey this past game against Colorado. We've been talking about Burakovsky and the fact that his numbers have been down. He's gotten 1 point, I believe, in the last 11 games. That's pretty rough for Burakovsky. I'm very happy that Trotz gave him a night off and let him watch the game from high in the press box. Galiev, he just got back from Hershey with his conditioning test, so it was good to see him on the ice. How do you think he did? I didn't really hear his name. I didn't get to see the game last night. I was celebrating a friend's birthday. Happy birthday, Adam, by the way. So I didn't really get to see a lot of him, but I didn't hear his name in the radio broadcast driving home very often. I don't think he really had a standout game, I guess.
So I didn't see the game. I was working an event for the place that I work. But I went back and I watched the goals. And I noticed that he was on the ice for a couple of them. So he's either in the right place at the right time, or maybe he was setting himself up. I don't know. I mean, It doesn't. I mean, he was on the score sheet. He had a couple of shots. He had some opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, I don't think we can necessarily judge a player based on one game. We got to give him a little bit more time. I would say give him a couple of games, see how he does, and sort of that could be better judgment. I do think it was kind of interesting that the night that the Caps were everyone was scoring. I mean, they had 7 goals all from different players.
That was pretty great.
That they did it without Burakovsky, in that that would have been probably the game where he's finally able to get a shot on that and get a goal. So that was kind of probably kind of a bummer for him. But, you know, it's all right. You get Galiev in, get him a chance to play. You know, if he gets a goal or two in the next couple of games, and maybe he's earned a spot on the roster for a longer piece of time. It'll be interesting to sort of keep an eye on and see how he does. But I definitely think you should get more than just one game.
Yeah, I hope that coming up in the next couple of days, he gets a jersey for a night or two. But, yeah, you brought up the fact that 7 goals against Colorado, 7 different players from this team getting goals.
That's ridiculous.
A lot from the defense. A lot of those goals are from defenders, which was pretty great. But that's one of the things I love about this team this year is the fact that we aren't seeing Ovi Backe, Kuznetsov. We're not seeing those three names for every single goal, you know? It is people spreading it around, and maybe this Colorado team just isn't very good, but it is good that we do have goal scorers all over the place. I didn't see anything really from
them.
What's that?
Orlov's goal
was a friggin' fluke. No one knew where that was except for Orlov.
But it was so funny.
It was.
You never see it where everyone, both teams, every player on the ice, with the exception of one dude, knew where the puck was. Like every player, like the goalie was just chilling. Their defensive players were just chilling. Even I think it was Chimera was sitting there like, "Sir, are you gonna blow the whistle? We're just sitting here. Nothing's happening. You got the whistle. Remember that thing? You got to blow it so we can stop and keep the game going." And Orlov, like, gets it. And he looks up and no one's paying attention. He's like, "Oh, snap." Like, tries to skate over real quick and take the shot.
Skate casual. Stay casual. No one will know you have it.
No one knows what's going on. I was like, the defenseman who's standing in front of the goal looks up and sees him. He's like, "Oh, crap." And, like, tried to get in the way, but it didn't matter. But it was nice to see Orlov get a goal.
Yeah.
Alsner got a goal. If Alsner scores, you better win.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It
never scores.
You got to feel good for Orlov, though. This is his first goal since, I believe they said, March 2nd of 2014. He lost an entire season last year.
Been a while.
Yeah, so it's been a while for the kid, and he's able to get a goal. Even though that was that the 7th goal of the night?
No, that was Alsner's.
Okay, so it was the 6th goal then. Because it was in the third period. So it was the 6th goal of the night. So usually that's the point where the guys don't really celebrate the goals. They just
kinda... Wait, was this the 4th goal? 5th goal, I mean.
It may have. I thought it was the 6th. I thought it was closer to the end. But,
no, you're right, yes. Because Kuznetsov had one just a few minutes before.
Right. But usually...
Speaking of which...
Go ahead.
Speaking of which, Chimera, after not such a great game against Dallas, came out and got 3 assists last night.
He did.
So it was nice to see him respond after a rather poor performance against Dallas. I mean, that Dallas game is just something that they had every chance to win that game. That's disappointing. But it was nice to see him bounce back. This team still, knock on wood, has not had back-to-back losses.
Yeah, that's very good. To go through almost 2 months of play now and not have back-to-back losses is a great sign. You're not going to win every single game. You're not going to have an 82 game.
What are you talking about? They could go 82-0, 96-0.
I would love to see any team do that. But
96-0? Wait. No, 98-0.
Yeah, but
right?
Yeah.
16? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We talked about how we're not good at math last time.
That's true.
Yeah, but I would love to see that. But statistically, you're not going to win every single game. So if you're going to have a loss, as long as they don't like pile up like that, you're usually in a pretty good chance to have a winning season. The Capitals, it seems as if when they do have a bad game, they are doing their homework afterwards, and they are going, all right, we got to fix this, we got to fix that. Barry Trotz is doing a good job with maneuvering the lines around, trying to find a spark. You know, he doesn't allow stuff to just kind of fester, and I like that about, especially this year, is they seem to find something that's wrong, they address it, and they move on and they try to fix it. You know, they already know how he coaches, they know the system, and it's not like last year where people had to buy in. There was, do you remember, I think Russian Machine Never Breaks did a story about Orpik, and he said that how one of the veteran guys didn't like Trotz coming in and didn't like what he was doing in like November. And we kind of figured out that he was talking about Chimera, because Chimera had a really rough November.
Chimera was not pleased.
Yeah. So we kind of figured out it was him. I feel as if like those growing pains with a new coach are all gone. So the players know like. Yeah, the players know what it's like. They know how he coaches, and he's going to call you on it if you mess up. We saw that this year with Ovechkin sleeping through practice. I mean, it's
you shall not play.
Right. It's the way the Trotz works, and the team.
If you're dumb, you don't get to play.
If you're dumb, you don't get to play, and that's very true. But you know. I'm feeling very confident with this team. It's been 2 months almost, and it's really a good thing. But here's my one concern. We had all those goal scorers against Colorado. Again, Colorado not the greatest team right now. But 7 goals from all different players, lots of defense. We didn't see anything really from the fourth line. If we're going to roll 4 lines, you know, we've seen Trotz do it before.
What was the fourth line? Yeah, we had Ovechkin, Backstrom, Oshie, Johansson, Kuznetsov, Williams, Chimera, Beagle, Galiev, Lotta, Wilson.
Right, so that Lotta, Wilson line, we didn't see anything from them really. So that's a little troubling. I do like the fact that he moved Justin Williams, back up to that second line. I don't like him on the third line. I want him working with Kuznetsov. If Kuznetsov staying on the second line, I'd like those two to stay paired together. Marcus, you know my feelings with Marcus. He's you know, hot and cold.
I think we have the same feelings about Johansson.
Yeah, so he's a good guy. I can see him on the third line. He's showing that he's not really a goal scorer. He's more of a grinder. So I can see Johansson. Yeah.
Oh, he's a grinder.
He's
just like, he loses the puck. I think he's a better goal scorer than a grinder. He's just not scoring any goals.
Yeah, so if you're looking right now, on the left side, you got Ovi, you got Johansson, you got Chimmer, you got Like. I wouldn't mind Like moving up to the second line for a game, Johansson moving down to the fourth, because I feel like with Wilson and Lotta and Johansson, you might see a little bit more production there. Like Kuznetsov and Williams might give the spark Like needs to actually, you know,
play. I don't know if anything's going to give him the spark that he needs right now.
Right. I mean, Like has been doing a good job, but he's just like he's doing it quietly, and he's not really getting points. He's not scoring goals. He is doing his job. The job of the fourth line.
Yeah, no question about it.
Yeah, the job on the fourth line is to you know, grind out the other team, be more defensive offenseman. So I mean, he is getting that done. But I want to see. I honestly wouldn't mind seeing Like and Johansson kind of switch places for a game just to see what would happen.
Put Galiev on that line.
Put Galiev where on the
second line.
On the second line, so you'd move Williams down to the third.
No, move Johansson down.
So they'd have to. They're both
right wingers.
Yeah, they'd have to switch sides.
I know it doesn't make sense. Doesn't mean I don't want to put Galiev on the left. I don't know. Johansson, I don't know. Yesterday it sounds like he had a decent game, but it just seems like he's always losing the puck. I don't know. The Dallas game killed me. Every time something went wrong, it seemed like it was Marcus Johansson that was involved. In terms of, like, I mean, he wasn't responsible for all of their goals, but right. In terms of turnovers and bad pass, although the passes in the Dallas game were also suspect.
Yes, they absolutely were.
Really. That was interesting.
Yeah.
And hopefully that game was just a
fluke. Yeah, hopefully it was just a weird night.
And if it
was a fluke
and they were still able to keep up with them, said something about how good this team could be.
Yeah, because Dallas is one of the best teams in the league right now. So
they get the most points.
Yeah, so for the Capitals to keep up with them, I mean, that is a good sign. But like I said a couple of weeks ago, I want to see this Caps team truly beat like a contending team. We've seen what they can do against game a lesser close. Team, but we haven't really seen a convincing win or like a regular scheduled win against a team that
scheduled win.
not overtime. It's still kind of early on Sunday, so I'm not my brain's
fair
not,
enough. Fair enough. Football my, hasn't even started yet.
My brain's not really working as well as it should.
Well, let's see. They got Edmonton. No, Winnipeg is no. I don't know. Maybe against Tampa Bay. No. Yep. Never mind. Won't be for a while. No, I think the Dallas game is sort of just a bad time for them to not be quite all on the same page in terms of passing and, you know, putting the puck in a wide open net. But, you know, the Dallas game, I think, was telling in the sense that they were still able to stay with them, as well as definitely had the chance to win that game if they were just a little bit more on point. You know, the Colorado game showed that this team can go out and beat teams that are not nearly as good at them or as them. And the game against Detroit was another sort of grind it out or get that game win. And then you had Kuznetsov in overtime. And so it was interesting. But, yeah, it's been an interesting week, and hopefully they continue on the trend they're going. They're still doing well. They're still – what are they, second in the Metropolitan, 3 points up on the Penguins with one less game played, and 5 points behind the Rangers with one less game played. So they have opportunities. No question about it.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. They're definitely in the race. And if New York goes on to a losing streak or something, the Capitals aren't going to be far behind them looking for that number one spot. But
no, they play one less game. So in theory, if they go out and win one more game, then they're only 3 points behind them. It's what, a game and a half.
Right.
They're in there. I mean, it's also very early. It's only, you know, getting up to the end of November, but they're doing well so far. No major complaints. Just, yeah, like you said, the fourth line, we definitely want to see more out of in terms of goal scoring. It doesn't have to be every night, like once a week.
Right.
Once every week and a half, I'll take that. You know, but they're playing. They're doing for what I've seen, they're playing solid enough. It's just they're not getting on the score sheet.
Yeah, I mean they're doing their job. They are being defensive. Yeah, they're tiring down the other team.
They're creating opportunities.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on the fourth line. It's just
let's get them.
Yeah, I would like to see more from them, but they are doing a good job. I don't like Tom Wilson on that fourth line. I've said that before. I think we're wasting what talent he could be. He could be getting better with by being on that fourth line.
Yeah, but he's got to show it.
But I don't think he's getting an opportunity to show it. I want him on the first or second line for half a game, for a few minutes.
Who's he going to bump out, Oshie or Williams?
That's true. I know. I don't know.
The answer is neither.
He
could be the heir apparent to Williams.
Right.
Should, you know, when his contract is up. But I think for right now, I mean, I'd like to see him on the third line. I like to see a little bit more offensive opportunities from him, or more offensive. He gets offensive opportunities, more capitalizing on those offensive opportunities.
Well, we have seen Barry Trotz juggle the lines around, and we've seen, you know, Beagle, Williams, Ovi, a mixed match of the first three lines.
Idea.
So if we can get, you know, Ovi, Kuznetsov, Wilson out there for a shift or two, I would be happy. He's got to play with people that were going to make him better if we want him to get better. Maybe he has the talent, maybe he doesn't. I think he does, but he's got to get with other players that are better than him to really get to that next level. And I think a shift or two with being up a line or two would help him out immensely. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see. So.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to bring up in Caps World here, I don't know if you saw this, but I posted on our Facebook page that Dynamo Moscow congratulated Ovi on being the highest goal scoring Russian in the NHL. And of course, it's a picture that Ovi put on Instagram like a year or two ago of him standing in front of his Dynamo Moscow jersey. I think Ovi has a shrine to himself in his house. Because it's his jersey.
Oh, but I wouldn't be surprised if most big name players in any sport have that.
I know, but
especially the NFL.
It's just weird to see because it's his Dynamo jersey, his Dynamo stick, his Dynamo gloves in this lit up wall thing. It's odd, but Dynamo Moscow also posted a video today of Ovi in front of the Ovi Dynamo shrine in Ovi's house. And from what I can understand, I use Google Translate for this. It says, hold on, let me find it again. It was pretty much like he's congratulating us on his birthday is what it translated to. So I don't think that's right. Yeah, it says, Ovi congrats our club on his birthday. So I'm thinking it means he's congratulating the Dynamo Moscow club on its birthday. So I'm guessing Dynamo Moscow has been around for a certain amount of years today.
And yeah, that makes sense.
Not really sure. There's a big banner on one of their pictures of it says 1946. So maybe this is go. They've been around since 1946, but they're Ovi still got his connection with Dynamo Moscow over in Russia. And now we can start rumors of Ovi going to Russia again because the media loves
those
that.
Those are always fun, aren't they? He's not going anywhere anytime soon.
I think what that translates to is he wants to be back in the KHL, right, guys? Huh? Right?
Yeah, that's what it means. Uh-huh. Yeah, keep going.
All right, man. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Nope.
All right. Well, that's it for Caps World. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But first, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the Puck? What the Puck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's see. Since we last talked, Hershey went 2-0 with both wins being over Portland. The Bears are back at it on Wednesday at the Giant Center against Providence with back-to-back away games on Saturday and Sunday against Lehigh Valley, of course, and Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-1 with a win over Atlanta and a loss to Greenville. The Stingrays are back at it on Tuesday in Orlando, followed by another game against Orlando on Saturday and again against Orlando on Monday the 30th. I think they just wanted to go to Disney World for a week.
What?
I mean, that's what it seems like. They're playing Orlando three times.
Okay.
In a matter of a week or 6 days. I think they're looking at the schedule and they're like, let's just go to Disney World. It's getting a little colder. You know, we don't like it quite as much. Get a little windy. Not really snowing yet, but let's go to Disney World, guys. It'll be nice.
I like
that. That's what's going on down on the farm.
I like that. Just don't go to SeaWorld, guys. Don't do that. No one wants that. But all right, so that's what's going on down on the farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff to talk about. We got the Black Friday Thanksgiving showdown coming up. The NHL is trying to take over Black Friday, being the sport to watch that day. Maybe people are footballed out after Thanksgiving. But before we talk about any of that stuff, the All-Star Game has a new format. The NHL has brought up. Coach Dan, I hope you're figuring it out and you're going to tell us about it because I am confused.
Okay, real quick before we do that, let's start off in San Jose, where congratulations are in order for Patrick Marleau, who scored his 1,000th NHL point on Saturday. He became the 83rd player in NHL history to do so. So congratulations to him. Now, like you said, let's go into the NHL All-Star Game, which is making a change, because what does the NHL love more than lockouts but change? Out is the player draft, which I'm kind of okay with because that was so incredibly awkward.
Yeah.
The whole player draft thing was weird.
Well, hold on. Let me bring up last year. NHL is not they're not the best they don't hide things very well. You know what I mean? Because if you remember the Winter Classic when it was the Rangers versus Philadelphia, it was like, oh, we've never seen a penalty. We've never seen a penalty shot in a Winter Classic game, guys. We've never seen one. I wonder if we're going to see one this year.
Oh, I don't think they're trying to script a regular game, a regular season game.
I'm a little suspicious with that. But if you remember last year for that fantasy draft, it was, hey, guys, we've never seen a trade before in this draft. What
that
do you guys think? Are you guys going to trade, huh? You want to trade? And, of course, a trade happened.
I think the best thing to take out of the player draft was Ovechkin trying to be drafted last.
I am so sad the draft is going away because that means less drunk Ovechkin. Drunk Ovechkin is hilarious.
That's true. He was rather entertaining last year. But instead of having the draft and the way they did the All-Star game in the past, they're going to have a 3-on-3 tournament. There will be three 20-minute games played by divisional All-Star teams competing for a winner-take-all $1 million prize. Each divisional team will have 11 players consisting of 6 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 2 goalies. Fans will select one player from each division. The remaining 40 will be picked by the NHL, and every team will get a representative.
Don't like it.
It's going to be interesting. I'm sure they found a new way to screw over Backstrom. I'm sure that's the case.
All right, so hold on. Now, all right, so the fans get to pick how many? One from each team, or I'm confused. How many do the fans
get? One from each division.
From each division.
So the Atlantic division will have one player voted in by the fans. The Metropolitan will have one player voted in by the fans. The Central will have one player voted in by the fans. And the Pacific will have one player voted in by the fans. Doesn't matter what position they play.
So
the rest of the guys will be picked by the NHL.
By who in the NHL? The other players?
Official? The league's hockey operations department.
I don't like that part at all. Don't like that one bit.
And every team will have one player.
So Ovi is definitely playing, and Backstrom is definitely not playing.
Okay, so here's the thing. Okay, so I went on to NHL.com, and they had a guess as to which players will be on each divisional team. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what the jerseys are going to look like.
Oh, God. They were so bad last year.
I know, but now you're going to have 40. Like, they could really have a lot of fun with this, or they could really screw it up.
I'm going with the latter.
They're probably going to be really boring. Anyways, let's start off with the Atlantic Division, where NHL.com writer Airpon Basu, he or she, I can't really tell with the first name, came up with, here's what the Atlantic Division will look like. Remember, every team has to have a representative, which is how other players get screwed over.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Eichel, Jaromir Jagr, David Krejci, Gustav Nyquist, Max Pacioretty, Stamkos. That's their forward group. So every team looks like they'll have two lines and then three defensemen that will rotate in. Or no, it's a 3-on-3, right? That makes sense. It'll be three lines. Sorry, I'm paying attention. Defenseman Erik Karlsson. I don't know what Riley's first name is in Toronto. Sorry. And Morgan Riley, of course. And PK Subban with Roberto Luongo and Carey Price being the goaltenders. We'll do the Metropolitan less, since that's more fun.
Okay.
In the Central Division, you'll have Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Vladimir Tarasenko, Tyler Seguin, Blake Wheeler, and Jamie Benn as their forward group, with Ryan Suter. Oh, we just said his name the other day. Klingberg, he got a new deal. John Klingberg, and is it Tyson Barrie, with Pekka Rinne and Jared Allen. Right. In the Pacific, they're saying Taylor Hall, Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey, as I believe they call him.
Right.
Tom Toffoli, Max Domi. What's Pavelski's first name again? Joe Pavelski. This is why I don't play fantasy hockey anymore. I forget all these guys' names. Daniel Sedin, Brett Burns, Drew Doughty, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Frederick Anderson, and Jonathan Quick. Now, the way it's real quick before we get into the Metropolitan, the way it's going to work is that the Central will play the Pacific in one game, the Atlantic will play the Metropolitan, and then the winning teams will play in the third game for that $1 million prize.
Okay.
The Metropolitan team, they're saying it's going to be Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby, Claude Giroux, John Tavares, Max Zuccarello, I can't say his name correctly, apparently, Brandon Saad, John Carlson, Justin Falk, Ryan McDonagh, Henrik Lundqvist, and Corey Schneider.
Corey Schneider? Really?
Well, every team has to be represented, remember. So who else would they take from the Devils?
That's all right.
Yeah. I figured Holtby would have a chance at this, but no, because the Devils would not. Well, Backstrom's getting screwed over, but who's he going to replace?
Yeah, the Devils are kind of like that that neighborhood kid that's really younger than you that just kind of comes up and says, hey, can I play with you guys? And you just kind of feel bad for him because you know he's just like a weirdo.
I mean, I can see like a Devils maybe having one of their defensemen come in, but then like replace Justin Falk in Carolina, but then Carolina has to have someone else represent the team. So you go like, oh, have Eric Staal, but then like he's got to replace Crosby, Giroux, or Tavares. Highly unlikely. So yeah, I mean, it'll be fun to watch, but I'm sure there's gonna be people who are pissed that their player didn't make it. I mean, you go and you look at the Rangers have three representatives,
right?
In McDonagh, Lundqvist, and Zuccarello, but then the Caps have two in Ovechkin and Carlson. So,
Carlson, I would love to see go. He's definitely an all-star in our defensive
I mean, I was reading Carlson and – where was it? Oh, Carlson and Falk are ranked number one and two, respectively, in points among defensemen in the Metropolitan Division.
I like the tournament idea. I like the 3-on-3. They're pushing the 3-on-3 because of the overtime or whatever. So, of course, they're going to try to make it look as jazzy as possible. But I don't like how the voting happens. I don't like that at all. I don't like that the NHL just decides like who they want to push down our throats this year. I don't like the NFL having a say in that. Is there still going to be a skills competition?
They've always had a say. Ugh. I don't think they've always been the ones to like feel like, okay, this is who we're having.
I mean, a lot of it has to do with the fans, though. It's a lot of fan voting. That's why the host city usually has like 6 players.
Now it is also still early. I believe the voting is done. Not the voting, but everything's done on like January 9th because the coaches, whichever team has the top points in the division, as of I think it was January 9th, will be the coach for each of the divisional teams.
So what happens with the skills comp? Is that still going on, or is that not a thing anymore?
I don't know. I didn't see it in this article.
Because that's like my favorite part of the All-Star weekend.
Oh, yeah, let's see. Schedule will be determined at the 2016 Honda All-Star Skills Competition will be contested between the Eastern and Western Conference All-Stars on January 30th.
Okay.
The winning conference earns the right to select when their semifinal matchup will take place. Oh, okay, so if the East wins, they can decide if they want to pick first or play first or second.
See, the one thing I wish the NHL would incorporate with the All-Star game is I wish that, like, the $1 million prize is great for the players, but it really does give an incentive to the fans to watch. I like in, like, baseball.
These games are going to be ridiculously high scoring.
Yeah, but I don't watch the All-Star game. I watch the skills comp. I watch the draft. I don't watch the game because it's meaningless. But, you know, in baseball, like, the All-Star game has an effect on the World Series.
Which is stupid.
I like that, though, because that gives
me... But it's so dumb, because you have a ton of players that will in no way have anything to do with the World Series, being the reason that your team may have that pivotal Game 7 at home.
I know, but it gives the fans a reason to watch, because it might affect your team in some way. For the $1 million prize, I mean, that's chump change for most players in the NHL, not all of them. But Ovi, does he really need, you know, an extra couple bucks in his pocket? No. Not really. If he's going to donate it or something, that's cool. But the $1 million prize is incentive for the players to play hard, but not for the fans to watch. I think this is I understand what they're doing. They're trying to get the 3-on-3 over with the crowd, but I'm not sold on this new way of doing the All-Star game yet. But we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'll still be watching. I'm a hockey fan, so I'll still be watching most of the time. But we'll whatever. What's your take on it? Do you like this?
I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I think it'll be fun. I think as long as nobody gets hurt, well, no one from the Caps gets hurt.
Right.
And they have, you know, fair representation, then I'm cool with it.
All right. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Now, these teams are being made as of now by the supposed teams, by the guesses.
Right.
This obviously could change significantly.
Yeah,
we'll see.
100% it could. We'll see what happens. We still got plenty of time before that. But all right, so is that it for NHL news?
Yeah. I mean, it's slower week.
Yeah. We got the holidays coming up. Thanksgiving is a Thursday here in the U.S.
Yeah, turkey. But
lots of turkey. I got a 23-pounder. All right, so we got guys, we will be back on December 2nd. That's when we'll be recording our next show. But we figured we'd give you this show a little bit earlier this week, because if you are in the U.S. and you're a Caps fan, you can listen to this while your turkey's basting, or you're mashing some potatoes, or you're browning some dinner rolls, whatever. Or if you're taking the little cranberry out of the can, you know, and just letting it, you know, plop into a bowl. I mean, that takes 2 seconds, but you can listen to our show doing that. So that's why we gave it to you a little bit early this week. So we'll be back on December 2nd. Until then, though, there are 4 games that we're gonna be watching in between all that meal prep. So on Monday, December 23rd, the Capitals are in D.C. up against the Edmonton Oilers. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. Wednesday, November 25th, the Capitals staying in D.C. They're going to enjoy a nice Thanksgiving holiday at home. That game is against the Jets from Winnipeg, the former Atlanta Thrashers. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet. Southeastern Division rivals, the Winnipeg Jets. They sucked. Friday, November 27th, you guys are going to be enjoying Black Friday early in the morning, 2 a.m. Come home, take a nap, and then watch the Capitals against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That game is at 5 o'clock. Suck it, Pat. Tampa sucks. And then on...
I don't even know what just happened, but that was harsh.
Saturday, November 28th, the Capitals, they actually leave D.C., and they will be up against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That game is at 7 o'clock, Comcast Sportsnet Plus locally here. And then we'll be back on December 2nd. So four games, busy Thanksgiving week for the Capitals. They get that Thursday off, but man, what a week for those guys. And then they're off almost an entire week. They have off from Sunday to Wednesday. The schedule
is ridiculous this year.
It is a little strange. We got big breaks, man. It's a little nuts. But four games, big ones. The Edmonton Oilers game should be fun. They're a young, fast team, but they kind of lost their star to a collarbone injury. So I'll be intrigued to see what happens on Monday up against the Oilers.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting, especially coming off the high against Colorado. I think that they could definitely go 4-0 in this – 4-0 in this stretch from 5-0, right? There's a game in December. Right. Or they could go – no, it's not a game in December. What the hell am I talking about? They could definitely go 4-0 or they could struggle. I think we need to see which kind of Caps team we're going to see. We still have those times where they are – not playing as how they should, Marcus Johansson, or they have days where they're playing better. It's interesting. It'll be interesting. I think they definitely can come out of this at least 3-1 if they play well.
I hope so.
Edmonton lost their big name, but you know they still have some cold scorers. Winnipeg is always a tough team to play against, but it's in DC, so there's definitely a chance for they don't have to deal with the fans up there who are phenomenal and apparently like right on the ice. Tampa Bay is Tampa Bay. They're a good team, so you got to be careful for them. And Toronto is getting better. They're still not a great team, but they're definitely getting better.
Right. Yeah, so this is going to be a fun week of Caps hockey. If you're in the D.C. area, you got three chances to see them during this holiday week. So enjoy it. If you're living in Canada and listening to us and you had Thanksgiving last month, it's our time now.
What is wrong with you?
It's our time now.
Thanksgiving wrong.
Well, it gets so cold outside in November, eh? Got to have it in October. Anyway.
Yeah. That was a good Canadian accent.
I've been practicing. I have definitely been practicing. Did I tell you about the movie I saw in October, a Halloween movie? Did we talk about that? I don't think we did.
Mm-hmm.
There was this movie. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it. It's called Hellions. It was an IFC movie, and it was about this girl was on Halloween. She finds out she's pregnant, and these trick-or-treaters keep coming to her house, and you find out they're like demon kids going after her baby or whatever. Not the greatest movie, but the funniest thing is these trick-or-treaters, the same three, and they turn out to be the demons. They keep coming to her house, so she opens the door, and she goes, "Hey, get out of here." And I'm like, "Oh, you're from Toronto, eh?"
Start giggling.
Yeah, I was like, "You're Canadian." And of course, we go through the credits, and they was filmed in Toronto, and it was a Canadian film, and the T-1000 from Terminator was in it. So it was not the greatest movie. I wouldn't recommend buying it or anything like that, but it caught me off guard because that was the first time I heard that little Canadian accent kind of sneak out from the movie. But anyway. So if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can do it on Twitter. Hopefully you are listening to our podcast during the Thanksgiving week. If you guys are traveling, be safe out there. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, that's a fun one to watch before the Thanksgiving holidays. I'd recommend watching that one. John Hughes classic. But anyway, you can contact Coach Dan or I on Twitter this week talking about Caps hockey, tying you over until our show next.
Or turkey.
Yeah, you should tweet us a picture of your turkey. That's fine. I'm cool with that. Tweet to me.
Don't do that. That sounded weird.
Tweet me at Brando Cash and Coach Dan. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also not really often find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which I still need to get those tickets to get that TJ Oshie one.
Did you see any of those the Slapshot bobbleheads from last year at the Verizon
Center? I did not.
Oh, okay.
But I also didn't really look.
Jerk.
So I think, that's my bad. I think I saw it from a distance, uh-huh. But I didn't see how much it cost.
I think from now on, you ought to just tell us when you're on CapsOutsider.com.
You think that'd be easier?
Yeah, I think it'd just be like,
dude, these freaking master's classes. It's like, I don't ever have time to write.
Well, I mean, holiday break's coming up, right? You should be good then.
I might be able to do something then.
There you go.
I think last time I wrote one, the guy made fun of me.
Really?
He was like, oh, look who's writing again. And I was like, I mean, they have a lot of writers. And it is a very good website devoted to the Washington Capitals if you want to read on some good stuff about the team.
Yeah, and they do a lot of stuff about the Bears and the Stingrays as well. And I find that interesting because it is hard to come by news about the minor league team. So they do good work all around.
Yeah. It's a very good website. It's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck, The Call, anything else that we produce here at Brando Cash Entertainment. You can go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. That way, whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. What the Puck is also on Facebook and Twitter. So go over to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Brooks, like us over there. We'll always be posting cool stuff like those Dynamo Moscow pictures of Ovechkin.
I can't see this, but I'm shaking my head at you.
You need a webcam. Can we start a GoFundMe page to get Coach Dan a webcam so we can actually see each other?
What the hell did I do with it?
It's unfair that he has to see the way that I look early in the morning in my elf t-shirt, and he just looks like he's having a good time with his girlfriend on some sort of mountaintop for his...
No, that's in... Wait, what picture are you looking at? Oh, right. No, that's in Tuscany.
Oh, well, there you go. Mr. World Traveler here. Tuscan, yeah, you know, Tuscan sunrise, it might be. I don't know. But I got to look at his picture and his little stuff, you know, blinking around his picture on Google Hangouts. And he doesn't get to, he has to see how bored I look. And I don't get to see how bored he looks while we talk. So, buy this guy a webcam. Get him a GoFundMe page and get this guy a webcam. All right. That's how much you can show you can like us, guys. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at WTP_podcast. Now, we do this show for free. You guys listen, stream, and download it for free. And that's another reason why you ought to get him a webcam, because you get this show for free. How cool would that be? I mean, give him back to the podcast poor, as we're called. Oh, I just made that up. That's actually... It's not a bad. It's not a bad band name, even if you're a punk rock band. The podcast poor.
It's not bad. I'll take it.
Anyway, so if you guys like us, let us know. Let other people know. You know, be social on the web with the show. So go on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, say I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. All right, guys, that is pretty much it for the show this week. Be safe out there, guys. It's a lot of crazy drivers out there. It's a big bad world we live in now. So make sure you're safe. Make sure you stay diligent in this. In the travel going on around the U.S. and around the world. Everyone be safe, be kind to each other on this Thanksgiving. And the most important thing is, since it is Thanksgiving here in the U.S., just think about what you're thankful for, and let the people in your life that are important know that they're why they're important to you. And just be kind to each other out there. Enjoy Thanksgiving, eat your turkey, watch some Caps hockey, and everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.